ready to take a ride. Grab your coffee and strap yourself in.
If you listen, I can hear God's plan.
Because the show is about to begin. You're listening to the Omega Man Radio Network.
All right, let's start it up. Brother Eric, would you like to open us up in prayer tonight?
Yes, thanks. Well, first of all, let me say thank you, Shannon, for inviting me, and Reverend Joseph, I thank you for the opportunity here, and it's always a pleasure to gather together and share God's Word. And so, Father, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus, and Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the life that you've given us through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you sent your Word that we could be healed and set free, and we could live for you. Lord, I ask you to anoint this time, Lord, to bring revelation from your Word, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I say amen to that. Brother Joseph, the mic is yours. Over to you.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We thank the Lord for all you listeners tonight, and those of you who live in America, we want to bless you with a great Thanksgiving day. Many of you will be with unsaved loved ones, and we just admonish you to let your light so shine that all will see Christ within you. You're the only Bible, probably, that many of your relatives will read. So let your light shine, and if you pray in the Spirit, just pray underneath your breath while you're there, and we believe that that you'll have a blessed time, even though you're with many unbelievers. So we're very privileged to have Eric Ross back on again. Eric did a fabulous teaching last time he was on, and I see no other reason why the Holy Spirit won't be powerful through him tonight. So, Eric, the Lord bless your teaching.
Thank you, Joe. And again, it's a pleasure to be here with you. And thank you, Shannon. And I just want to take a minute here. I'm a member at the Master's Hand Christian Fellowship in New Rochelle, New York. And my wife, Noemi, and I have a little website, mymarriagementors.org. I do some marriage counseling, and also prayny.org, where we regularly pray. We have a group that we pray with every morning, and you know, it's a good way for us to start our day and to spend a little time in God's Word, and then looking for an application of God's Word in our life. And that really is the message tonight as you were talking about Thanksgiving, Joe, and being with family and friends, and being a light to the world. If you want a title for the message here, it's Tell the People. And we're going to take a verse from Acts. Before we get to the key verse here, I want to take just a minute and look back at the beginning of the book of Acts, and just to set a little groundwork here, before the book of Acts, in John 17, Jesus prayed, and he said in John 17, 20 and 21, "Neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you did send me." Now, when we read the book of Acts, I've heard people call it the Acts of the Apostles. And certainly it's a record of what happened in the early church and how the apostles developed as they went forward in their ministry after Jesus went to take his place at the right hand of the throne in heaven. For me, the book of Acts is the beginning of the Acts of the Sons and Daughters of God. And it's an opening of this new power of God by God's Holy Spirit for us to take our rightful place in the world. Now, Acts 1:8 says, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, that wasn't these two verses that I just read here from John 17 and Acts 1. Jesus wasn't just talking to his disciples. Certainly, he was working through them, and they occupy a special place in God's kingdom. But God was opening the door for power by his Holy Spirit, not just to them, but to all who would believe. Now, as we go a little bit farther here, and we'll do a quick kind of run through a couple of the first chapters of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, we find not just the apostles, but they were gathered together when the power of the Holy Spirit was poured out. And in Acts 2:16, it says, this is that which has been spoken through the prophet Joel. It will be in the last days, says God, I'll pour forth my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and handmaidens in those days will I pour forth my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, in this first couple of chapters of Acts, we saw 3,000 people added to the church. We saw the 120 in the upper room, not just the 12 disciples. And God was pouring out his Spirit in a mighty way, and they saw great things happening. And in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were on their way to the temple. You know, they had a daily routine. There was a time for prayer. There was a time for them to do the things of God. It says, at the hour of prayer they went. And as they did, there was a man who was along the way, and he asked them for money. You know, that's the way that things were set up then. People who didn't have a way to make a living on their own, they would ask for alms. And as they walked by, they took him, and the man says he jumped and leaped and praised God. And he was completely healed. Now, it's likely that that man had been there when Jesus was there. And, you know, there's a time when God wants to move in somebody's life. And that's the time that we need to be sensitive to. And when Peter and John, they're walking by, and the Spirit of God said to them, you know, do something here with this man. And they did, and it was a miracle that everybody saw. Now, as we go a little bit farther on in Acts chapter 4, the leaders put them in jail and said, stop preaching this message. Now, you know, there's a message that God has to bring to the world, and it's not always received. And we saw Jesus, the Son of God, crucified, and we know that there are opposing forces. But we don't always think about how strong those forces can be. Now, God had said in Acts 3:25, Peter spoke when the leaders challenged him. Peter spoke, and he said, God has made this covenant with your fathers through Abraham. In your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You know, that's the heart of God, for families to be blessed. And this is a time when we can call on God in this season particularly. You know, we can do this all the time, but we're much more aware of it this time, this season. And we can ask God for his blessing in our families. Now, as they healed this, as they reached out to this man and God healed him, and all the people saw it, they put the apostles in jail. And they said to him, don't preach this anymore. You know, don't be stirring up the people like this. Well, it's always good to heal somebody. It's always good for somebody to have their life restored. But when they were released, it says in Acts 4, verses 29 through 30 is what they prayed. But when they were released, they went back to the church. Well, it says in Acts 4:23, they went to their own company, and they all prayed together. Now, we don't know exactly how many were there, but it was a church gathering. And, you know, there are times when we need to come together as a church body and as a group of believers and recognize the opposition that's in the world. And what they prayed was, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching forth your hand to heal, and by signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. Now, and that's exactly what we see happening as we read further through the book of Acts. God's doing a work through the name of Jesus Christ. And that work didn't end with the apostles. And there are people who will say that they're a special case. Well, in terms of walking on the earth with Jesus, yes, they're a special case. And certainly they had a place in kicking off the church in the beginning. But God didn't say that he was going to pour out his spirit on the apostles. What did he say? He said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. And there's an opening. There's a work that God has, not just for the apostles, but for all of us as members of the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to go on here. In Acts chapter 5, we see the streets were lined with sick people. And even Peter walking by, people were healed. And then again, back in Acts 5:17, they're back in jail, and the second time in prison. And now this brings us to the main text for this evening. You know, what we think is a bad situation. Sometimes God is right in the middle of it with us, and that's the case here. In Acts 5:19 and 20, it says, the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Now, this there's a message that we have for the world, and God's chosen us to deliver it. But there are hindrances to us, and there are reasons that we're held back. And this message tonight is for us to take our rightful place. And as the angel said to these two apostles, speak to all the people all the words of this life. Now, I want to give just a quick little personal testimony. You know, when I was 7 years old, one summer, my mom sent my two younger sisters and I to a vacation Bible school, and we weren't a Christian family, never attended a church. But that summer, my mom sent us to the vacation Bible school, and you know, it was a couple weeks, and that was great. And then one Sunday morning, they took us to a service at Highland Park Baptist Church in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, where I was born. And I still remember walking down the church, the aisle with my sister and accepting Christ. And we were both baptized. You know, it was a Baptist church. And I remember being baptized, but we weren't a Christian family. You know, we never went back. And it wasn't until I was married and had children of my own that I began to read the Bible for myself and discovered that God loved me. And life that God wanted to give me, I didn't really know anything about it. And until I became an adult and opened the Bible for myself, I didn't really understand the deeper relationship that God wanted to have with us. You know, while I was growing up, there are things that happened to me that I know God was with me. And in retrospect, I know God was with me. but I was really no value to his kingdom. I happened to cross an old message by R.W. Schombach not long ago, and he tells a story about a woman. He said, I keep falling out of my bed. Every night I fall out of my bed. And her friend asked her, why do you think you keep falling out of the bed? And she answered, I stay too close to where I got in. There's a point of accepting Christ as Savior and just being on the edge of the bed. And in my own experience, I can tell you that from the time I accepted Christ, God protected me. But there was something missing. I wasn't fulfilling all that God had for me. Now, what the angel said to Peter and John was, go and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the works of this, the words of this life. But they had been prepared. They had been with Jesus. They were there when the Holy Spirit was poured out. They knew what the angel meant when he said to go and speak the words of this life. We, on the other hand, need some preparation. And the first key point here is that we need to study to be workmen. Second Timothy 2 says, study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, how can we tell people about God if we don't know ourselves? God is, and he has been, revealing himself to men. And for all of humanity. I came across an article. It was in the Huffington Post, and it said, why is it so easy to be negative, and what to do about it? Well, they really don't know what to do about it, but the quote here is, you're simply the product of intelligent human design, whereby bad overpowers good. There's this recognition in the world of psychology that humans have a built-in negativity bias. What they don't know is that wasn't God's design. That's an effect of the fallen nature. And God has been revealing himself from generation to generation to be able to reconcile us to himself. There's a knowledge of God that we need to have. And when we accept the work of Christ on the cross and understand the payment made by his blood and recognize his resurrection from the dead and that he holds the keys of death and hell, and we accept him as Lord and Savior, we receive the love of God and are born again, as I was at 7, then we have access to the Holy Spirit for God to teach us. Well, back to our main point here. There's something more than just being with Jesus that prepared Peter and John. Now, that may set you off a little bit here, but the truth is Jesus said, I need to go away so that he, the Holy Spirit, can come. And this baptism in the Holy Spirit was an important part of their preparation. Now, in Acts 2:7, it says, they were all amazed and marveled, saying one another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? We do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. When you have accepted Christ and been baptized in God's Spirit, there's something in you that wants to pour out that love and that life that God has. Now, Isaiah 55 said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he'll abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, says the Lord. Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, I could add many scriptures here, but the point is that there's something that we need to understand about who God is. And we need to recognize that God is doing a work in us. And it begins with accepting Christ. Now, I encourage you read your Bible and ask God to teach you by His Holy Spirit. You know, it says He's the teacher. It also says He's the comforter and the guide. 1 John 5 says, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, that we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So knowing God is an important step for us, and knowing we have eternal life is foundational. But we only really come to fully understand Him as we seek Him and study. Now, two more little verses here. Romans 12, 2 says, don't be fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And Hebrews 5:12 says, for by reason of time you ought to be teachers, and I'm going to skip a little bit here down to verse 13, for everyone that partakes of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but solid food is for full-grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. We're talking here about studying to be a workman, about coming into the fullness of the relationship that we have with God. And a big part of that is because we didn't walk with Jesus when He was on the earth, we need to spend some time walking with Him by reading His Word and by learning from Him. Now, let me go on to another point here. This is, again, to prepare ourselves to stand and speak to the people all the words of this life. That's the charge that we have. And this is to put on the armor of God. Now, if we were only dealing with people and fallen human nature, we could use our study and our knowledge and our minds, and every person has free will to choose. And you know, this may not sit quite right with you, but every person has the right to choose God or not. And when people are unencumbered, when they're in their right mind, when they're not being influenced, and they hear the Word of God, no devil or hell itself can stop them from choosing Christ. Now, the challenge is that people are sometimes influenced. And before we go to that, though, there is this section in Ephesians 6 that says, put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6, 11 through 13, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, I've heard many people focus on this. You know, this is not a new section. There are a lot of messages I've heard about this. But I want to focus here on the wiles of the devil. And I think most people recognize that the devil is bad. But, you know, there's absolute evil intent on destroying the things of God. And this word wiles is a bit lost on us today. You know, I started with the contention that if you're unencumbered and you hear the Word of God, nothing can stop you from choosing Him. But this word wiles, it's defined as methodical stratagems. Now, as a noun, it means a devious or cunning strategies employed in manipulating or persuading someone to do what one wants. It's an archaic verb meaning to lure or to entice. Its synonyms are tricks, ploys, schemes, maneuvers, subterfuges. Now, earlier in Ephesians, this word is translated as lie in wait to deceive. Let's read Ephesians 4:14 here. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, that's the word, wiles. You know, this enemy that we have is a devious and cunning enemy. And there's an armor that God has given us to stand against him. And the thing is, this armor is not physical. It's not a physical suit. It's a spiritual armor. But it's expressed in natural behavior. And we put it on by our character. Now, did you get what I said here? This spiritual armor is put on by doing something specific, by a natural behavior. Now, I'm going to read a little bit further here in Ephesians 6, 14 through 17. He says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Now, the first one, have your loins girt about with truth, well, that means you have to tell the truth. You have to seek the truth. And how easy is it for us to bend things and to shade things and somebody's doing something wrong and we let it slip. And, you know, this is the first part of the armor. Tell the truth. The second one is the breastplate of righteousness. God is holy, and we need to live righteous lives. And that means living God's way. The next one is your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, we talked about learning God's word, about reading God's word, about seeking who God is. There's preparation that goes into this. And if we're going to walk the walk that God has for us, then it means us taking some natural physical action to prepare ourselves. It says taking the shield of faith. And, you know, Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. And then it says take on the helmet of salvation. You know, there's a couple of verses about renewing your mind and having your senses exercised. But this sword of the Spirit is being ready to speak God's word, not with our own authority, but understanding that what God says, God will do. And actually, this is how Jesus overcame the temptation of the devil. What did Jesus say back to him? It is written. Every time the devil came with a temptation, he said, "It is written." Now, this armor of God is not something that we just put on one time. And, you know, there's an example in the Old Testament of David as a warrior for God. 1 Samuel 17 talks about David, and I think for time here I'm going to skip past this, but David lived his life for God, and he was a shepherd, and he protected his flock from a lion and from a bear, and you know the story, then finally from Goliath, who was an armored warrior standing against the people of God. But David tested and proved this armor that God had given him, and he was able to withstand and overcome every enemy that opposed him. Now, I want to encourage you to put on the armor of God, stand for the truth, live a holy life, have faith in God, keep your mind on the things above, claim God's precious promises. But there's another key area here. You know, if we're going to be able to stand and speak to people all the words of this life, we have to be in the right place. Now, most Christians have heard this message about putting on the armor of God, but I don't hear many people talking about avoiding the snare. If we're trapped by the devil, we can't fulfill what this angel said to Peter and John. We just can't do it. But let me go to Romans 13 here for this key point. The night is far spent, Romans 13, 12 and 13. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, but not in strife and in envying. You know, this very much puts the action on us to cast off the works of darkness, to put on the armor, to live honestly. And our will is involved. But this is not as simple as we might want it to be. You know, there are behaviors that are habitual. We get, people become alcoholics. They become addicted to drugs. There are behaviors that people become addicted to. Now, 2 Corinthians 2:11 says that no advantage may be gained over us by Satan. For we know his devices. Now, this enemy that we have, he has a way of operating. And he will, one commentator, Fawcett, says Satan seeks to get an advantage over believers. And how does he do that? Well, one of the ways, you know, the verse I just read, 2 Corinthians 2:11, just before that, Paul had been writing to the Corinthian church about a man who was in sin, and he tells them, confirm your love to that man, forgive him. And then he says that Satan may not gain advantage over us. You know, we need to stand for righteousness, and the church needs to judge things appropriately. And sometimes, you know, there's an action that needs to be taken. But there's also God's love and God's forgiveness and sometimes God's reconciliation. But let me go a little further here. There are three things here that Satan uses. It talks about his devices, and those would be mental perceptions or thoughts mentioned in 2 Corinthians 2:11. The other one is wiles, or the methodical strategies, the cunning arts, deceit, craft, trickery, which is in Ephesians 6:11. And then there's one called snares, caught suddenly, unexpectedly, which are mentioned in 1 Timothy 3:7. And this is the key point here. How do we avoid the snare? Now, the whole point of wiles and snares is that you don't see them for what they are. By the time you see them, it's too late. You're caught. And now the snare isn't always what we might first think. It isn't just addictions. It can come through shame. 1 Timothy 3:7 says, moreover, he must have good testimony from them that are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. You know, I think we all have seen people who we might describe as good people, even pillars in the community, and they make a mistake, intentionally or not, and it causes them to lose their position. You know, in these cases, what they might have done for God's kingdom is stifled or maybe even aborted. Also, in Timothy 6, it says, but they that are minded to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some, reaching after, have been led astray from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, it isn't money that's the problem. It's the love of money. And what is money? Well, it's the possessions, the things, the power. When we start to use these things to get others to do what you want and to step in, that's stepping into the very wiles of the devil himself. Now, the Old Testament gave God's people a warning in Exodus 23, verse 32 and 3. You shall make no covenant with them nor with their gods. You'll not dwell in their land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, I will surely be a snare to you. These these things that the devil wants to do entrap us, ensnare us, and they don't always come, they may come looking like something really good for us. But there is, let's look at 2 Corinthians 6:14. It says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness and iniquity? Or what communion has light with darkness? Now, I want to take a minute here and encourage you to look at your life. And is there anything in your life that's controlling you? It could be a job. It could be addiction. It could be debt. It could be lustful desire. This is the place to get a grip on your life and recognize that God wants you to be free of any of those things. God's word has great promises for us. And there are times when we need to just recognize that this thing has been bigger than God's word in my life. And now's the time to let go of that and ask God to show you a new way, the living way, to be free of it. Now, 2 Timothy 2:24 says, the Lord's servant must not strive, but be gentle towards all, apt to teach, forbearing, in meekness correcting those that oppose themselves. I'm going to stop there for a second. There are things that you can have allowed in your life that actually oppose you. You've allowed the snare of the devil to come in. Well, let me go ahead here. If peradventure God may give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, and they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to his will. You know, these snares subvert your life. And you may think, well, this is not that bad. You know, it's okay. I've got to say what popped in my head here. I've got a friend who smokes, and we can talk about anything except cigarettes. And that thing has a hold on their life. And it's a destructive hold. But let's go on here. Where we started was, if we're unencumbered, we can hear God's word, and we can choose and follow after him. Once we're free from the snare, we can move toward God. You know, the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We need to take care of it, live a fasted life, not abuse ourselves. But God has given us everything to enjoy. But he says, be holy as I'm holy. Now, 1 Timothy 6 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. There is a snare, and there is an enemy, and he's using that snare to take us and grab us if he can. Now, the last key point that I have here, and again, this is how do we fulfill what God wants for us to do, to stand and speak to people all the words of this life. It sounds like a simple statement, but it's about our life being right. And as Christians, you know, we're never alone. People are looking at us because we're the light of the world. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, Jesus identified with our humanity. He knows what we feel. He knows what we go through. But he's also the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, when I say that we're the light of the world, the world is looking at us. When we say, I'm a Christian, people are looking at us. and they're expecting us to behave like Christians. And the reality is, you know, we're not perfect, and we may not have it all together. And why do you think people often call Christians hypocrites? Well, there is a life that God's called us to, and it's a race for us to run and to win. And it's a message that God has for us, not only in our own life, but to give to those around us. And that means living the Christian life to the full. He says to lay aside every weight and lay aside every sin and to run the race that we have. Now, 1 Peter 5, 6 through 8 says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. You know, we have this enemy who is out to take us. And he'll do it by accusation of other people. He'll do it by finding any weakness in our life. He'll use whatever leverage he can. But this is the place to slam the door and to close it on those things that are contrary to God's will and purpose in our life. Now, when we talk about laying aside every sin, well, we need to check our thinking and bring our natural carnal nature in line with Jesus. We don't really need every shiny thing we see. You know, we really don't need to eat everything that looks good to us. In fact, it's not healthy for us. There is an order that God has for us. And, you know, there's a place that says, crucify the flesh. Well, this body has some things in it that are contrary to the will and purpose of God. But to run the race, we need not only to prepare, but we need to be looking at where we are going. Avoid the snare, the potholes, the traps that might slow us down or stop us altogether. Now, I need to ask here: Have you ever said to yourself, you know, I'm gonna go do this thing, and after I get this problem taken care of, then I'll go and do something with the church, and that problem drags on, and that thing you were going to do for the church or for God never gets done. You know, this is one of the greatest tactics of the enemy to keep us from moving forward. Mark chapter 4:18 says, others, this is the parable of the seeds, and Jesus talks about people and how they receive the word of God. Mark 4:18-19 says, and others are they that are sown among thorns. These are they that have heard the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. You know, we know God's word, and we know God has a plan and purpose for us. We need to bring our bodies in line, and I encourage you here to work through the problems that may have plagued you. Maybe there's some things, you know, in many Christian circles, people talk about strongholds. And this is really exactly what I'm talking about here. You know, things that have happened in your family line, things that have happened in your own life. You know, there's a door somehow, and the devil's gotten a foothold. And he's got to go now, in Jesus' name. But this is a race that we have to run. And if you're not moving now, get moving. Keep going. Let me just conclude here. And I know we want to come to a time of communion. And the main text here is what the angel of the Lord said to Peter and John as he opened the prison doors and he brought them out. He said, go and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. You know, this work was not just for these two men to do. This book of Acts that we have was not just for the 12 disciples, and then that was the end of it. This was an opening of God's will and purpose for all who understand the work that Jesus Christ did. In prison or not, we have a commission. As Christians, we need to study and be workmen and to change our mind and to get our mind in the right place. And we need to put on the armor of God, which is live holy and righteous lives. And remember the snare of the devil. And, you know, there are times when people get caught and we could say, look how they have been trapped and fallen. And sometimes people do and join in with the accusations of the devil, the accuser of the brethren. Or we could grab them by the arm and say, God's with us. We're going to get through this, and we're going to finish the race that God's given us. And this is the work that God wants us to do, to stand together and love each other and to fulfill this work that God's given us. Now, God's desire is, in 1 Timothy 2:3-4, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, God wants everyone. You know, just because somebody is living an addicted life doesn't mean God doesn't love them. He wants them just as much as he wants us. But we have our place that we need to take. And there's a personal part of responsibility that we need to take here. Now, if you've been listening here and you've never accepted Christ, you know, it's a simple prayer. I'm going to take just a minute here. And if you have never accepted Christ, then just take these words with me. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died for my sin and that you raised him to life. I want to trust him as my Savior and follow him as Lord from this day forward. Guide my life and help me to do your will. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I just thank you for those who have accepted Christ, and I ask you to lead them by your Spirit individually, but also, Lord, into a local church where they can learn more about you and your plan for their life in Jesus' name. Now, if you're a Christian, and I suspect many of you are on the line here, if there's something in your life that has been a snare, a roadblock, something that has held you back from fulfilling what God has for you, don't put off to tomorrow. Don't let the problems and the pressures and the cares of this world keep you trapped. You know, break the power of that thing in Jesus' name. And Father, we come to you right now. And Lord, you know the hearts and the minds of each person. And you know the things that are going on in their life. And Father, we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit to reach exactly where they are. And Father, we repent of those things that we know have been problems for us. Lord, you know the trouble that we have overcoming our own behavior. But Father, we ask you right now, by the power of your Spirit, to change us, to put us on a new path, to lead us forward, to break the power of this snare in our lives. Lord, we ask you for your forgiveness. We ask you for your direction. And we receive you, Holy Spirit, as our teacher and our guide in Jesus' name. Now, if you have prayed with me particularly, I'd appreciate it if you would go to our little website, prayny.org, and put in a little prayer request and connect with us so we can continue to pray with you and ask God's best for your life. Joe, I'm going to hand it back to you here.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Shannon?
Praise God, folks. We're excited to be here tonight with ministers Joseph Cohen and Eric Ross. Brother Eric, great word tonight, folks. It's called Tell the People. And we're going to take communion here in just a little bit. And we'll play a song before we do. But before we take communion, Brother Eric, what does communion mean to you, and who's eligible to take it?
Well, you know, anyone who just prayed here and accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord is eligible. And you know, as we read the Bible, it says, let a man examine himself. And so anyone who has just taken these last few minutes to heart and examined what's going on in their life and asked God to help them go forward is eligible for it. You know, this communion represents the covenant that we have with God through Jesus Christ. That God didn't just put us in the world and leave us here. Some people have that kind of an idea, you know, God just spun the world and he walked away. But that's not the God that we know. The God that we know came and walked among us. And he feels the things that we feel. And he understands the things that we're going through. And Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but I've overcome the world. That's the covenant. That's the communion that we have. And how did he overcome it? Well, he took in his body stripes, and his word says, by his stripes we were healed. And he shed his blood, and it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. You know, we all want justice when we're offended, when we're hurt, when we're abused by somebody. We want vengeance. Well, Jesus Christ took the penalty for us by his blood. That covenant opens the way for us to have a perfect relationship, to come with a clear conscience into God's very presence. I'll try to come to a stop here, Shannon, and let you go ahead.
Well, what we'll do is go to a song and give everybody a chance to pray. Prepare your hearts. If there's someone you need to forgive, then you need to do that so that when we ask the Lord to forgive us, he'll hear our prayers. But if we won't forgive, it says, neither will my Father in heaven forgive you. So you want to make sure you forgive. God can help you to do that. If there's any sin you need to repent of, ask him to forgive you. He will. And you'll be ready to take communion. All you need is a little bit of grape juice or wine, some bread, crackers, matzah, whatever you have handy. And we'll take communion after the song. Brother Joseph, you sent us... Actually, you told me last week that Sister Marina Basic had sent us a new song, and I have it, and I'd like to play it tonight. This comes courtesy of Marina Basic, who is a songwriter, and she's written many awesome songs for the Lord. This is the newest one. It's called Sunshine. Hope you all enjoy it, and we'll be right back and take communion after the song.
I had this feeling right away.
Praise God. That was a song written by Marina Basic and vocals done by Melissa Smith, music by Damian Starkey. We want to thank Sister Marina for allowing us to play that song. She's really a professional songwriter. Good work. Well, praise the Lord. Everybody, welcome back to the program. That gave me time also to get prepared for communion. I have my grape juice and my cracker here ready. And we're going to read a verse before we take communion tonight. Again, welcome aboard if you're just joining us. We're live with Pastor Joseph Cohen and Minister Eric Ross. Great word tonight. One of the verses in the word that talks about communion, and there's several, is over in Luke 22. We'll read verse 19. It says, and he took bread, Jesus took bread and gave thanks, and he brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And as often as we do this, we take communion, we show the Lord's death till he comes. We pay honor and tribute to the Lord Jesus Christ, who made it possible for you and I to be saved tonight, to receive a pardon. We all had a death sentence. We all do when we're born. But if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, confess him as Lord, believe that he has been raised from the dead, invite him in, repent of our sins, we will be forgiven, our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and then we follow him. And when we die, or he comes back, whichever comes first, we're saved. We go right into the immediate presence of the Lord. We don't have to go to hell's prison, because he's provided that pardon at the cross. But if he hadn't went to the cross, given his life, then you and I would have no opportunity for reprieve. So the bread represents his body that was broken for you and I. His blood is his blood that was shed for you and I. So that's why we take communion. We show him honor. And there's a blessing that comes when you take communion. Many people have testified to that. And it also causes us to keep a short account with the Lord, to remember that he's coming back soon. We want to be ready to meet him. And we don't want anything to come in the way of missing heaven. Brother Joseph, over to you, my friend.
Yes, praise the Lord. those of you who haven't taken communion with us before, we take it every Tuesday night. There's nothing in Scripture that says it only needs to be given in a church setting and only pastors or elders can give it. That's just man-made. What we do, though, different than probably anybody, what we do is we honor the Lord by taking communion, by reciting some words. When there's a dignitary that's honored at a function, a dinner function, those guests will lift up their cup and toast the dignitary. So what we do here in New Hope in the Lord Ministries on Omega Man Radio, we toast the Lord. And three times we say, hail to my King Jesus, in honor of the Trinity. And then the last time we say, hail to our King Jesus. Those of you worldwide in countries around the world that are listening to this broadcast and taking communion with us, it's one faith, one baptism, one hope, one body. So that's how we do it here. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Blessed, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who commands us to eat bread from the earth. Father, we thank you for your broken body, Lord God, that was broken for us, Father. We thank you, Father, that because of that, Lord God, we have the right to claim healing in our bodies, Lord. Father, we thank you, healing is a children's bread, Lord God, that you wish us to prosper and be in good health as our soul prospers, Father, that you bore our sicknesses and diseases upon your body, and by your stripes we were healed, are healed, and will be healed. So I command every muscle, every nerve, every cell, every organ, every bone, every pain to go and to be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Amen and amen. Let's partake with the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ and give us strength, health, and energy, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Borei Pri Hagafen. Blessed, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who commands us to drink the fruit of the vine. Hail to my King Jesus. Hail to my King Jesus. Hail to my King Jesus. Hail to our King Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord. Father, for the cross, your broken body and your blood. We thank you, Father, in your blood. There's power in your blood, healing in your blood, deliverance in your blood, faith in your blood, hope in your blood, peace in your blood, joy in your blood, love in your blood, mercy in your blood, and great, great, great grace in your blood. We thank you for your grace. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes us white as snow. We thank you, Father, we're white as snow, that our sins are forgiven. Father, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We thank you for that, Lord. So, Father God, right now we thank you, Lord, as we partake with your blood, Lord God. We believe that you're a miracle-working God, and we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that we're honored that we are saved, Father, and we thank you, Father, for your blood. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Jesus the Christ, the Holy One of Israel, the one who was and is, who is to come, the Lamb of God who sits on the throne and took away our sins 2,000 years ago. In your name, amen. Let us partake with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ for his glory. Hallelujah.
By his stripes I'm healed, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. I'll tell you, it's an honor to be able to take communion here with the folk out there tuning in. And if you're coming in late, you want to get tonight's message. Awesome right now word with Minister Eric Ross. Brother Eric, I would like you to give out your contact information. You mentioned a website. Tell people how they can make contact with you in the ministry.
PrayNY.org is a simple way. And there's a little place to add a prayer request. And that comes offline first. And so we get to read those. And then we can post those so other people can pray. And actually, if you want to pray for other people, that's a good place to go. And, this is just a place to be praying. And so PrayNY.org is an easy way to connect with us. And you can leave a note and a phone number, an email address, and it's an easy way for us to connect.
Fantastic. And Brother Joseph, give out your contact information.
Amen. You can look at my website at newhopeinthelord.com. We have a lot of lot of good things on there. And if you want to write to me, at my email is brotherjoe@newhopeinthelord.com. If you'd like to get the letters that I wrote on taking communion on a daily basis and the miracles that happened, people giving testimony of people who have done that, you can do that, and I'll email you the letters. Also, if you would like to support our ministry, we thank the Lord for those who are supporting it, and there's no offering that's too little, and there's no offering that's too big. And you can do that, and you'll be blessed by sending a donation through PayPal, and it's at my email address, brotherjoe@newhopeinthelord.com.
Praise God. Brother Eric, I'm making up a schedule for December. If you will look at your calendar, give me two dates that might work for you. Text me or email me is fine too. OmegaManRadio@ProtonMail.com. Okay. I will contact you right back and let's get you back up on the program because I was supposed to get you on a long time ago and I dropped the ball. Forgive me. But we want to get you back on so December is wide open. And folks, we'll have this up in the archives here in just a bit. Brother Eric, thank you for coming on. And Pastor Joseph, as always, my brother, it's an honor working with you.
You too, Brother Shannon. God bless you. We love you, brother. Thank you, Eric. God bless you.
Both of you, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Yes, you too. You don't celebrate that over there, but you say every day we're thankful for the blood of Christ.
Well, hallelujah. I do. Shoot. Just because I'm in Bali doesn't mean I'm not going to celebrate Thanksgiving. But
well, okay.
I'll be honest with you.
That's right.
I'm going down. I'll probably find me a rotisserie chicken. I think it's going to be difficult to get a turkey in time, but hey, it all tastes like chicken, so it'll be all right.
God bless, man.
Okay, God bless you. Thank you, gentlemen.
God bless.
Praise God. Folks, that was a great word tonight. I'm going to save this. We're going to be right back with Major Tom Baird and Professor Tom Mack coming up next here. And I put some PowerPoints in the chat room. We'll tell you about those here in just a minute. Stand by to refresh.
Omega Man Radio has been commissioned to invade deep into enemy territory, drive out the hosts of hell, and take back the land. Our mission is to preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the only name written under heaven by which men might be saved, cast out demons, and pray for the sick that they may be healed in Jesus' name. If this program is a blessing to you and you would like to take part in this harvest of souls, join with us and attack the hosts of hell by donating any amount online at www.omegamanradio.com. You may also donate by sending check or money order to 9030 West Sahara Avenue, Suite 665, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89117. We thank you.